This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for March 22nd, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story. Coinbase hit with $6.5 million fine by CFTC. Market debut rumored to be delayed. This is by Tom Thompson of John Lothian News. Digital asset trading platform Coinbase took a $6.5 million hit on Friday when the Commodity Futures Trading Commission announced it had settled charges against the firm. The agency charged Coinbase with, quote, reckless, false, and misleading or inaccurate reporting, as well as wash trading, unquote. Coinbase did not deny the charges, responded consents to the use of the findings of fact and conclusions of law in this order, and agrees that they shall be taken as true and correct, according to the CFTC's order. The charges stem from activities by the company that occurred before September 2018. Old news, in other words. In its February 25, 2021 S-1 prospectus document filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, Coinbase said it had profits of $322 million on net revenue of $1.14 billion in 2020. The privately held company is preparing for a direct listing of outstanding shares. The then ongoing CFTC investigation was disclosed in the filing. Coinbase shares that were recently sold by investors on private markets have valued the company at between $60 billion and $90 billion. Up to almost 115 million shares were registered by Coinbase for sale on NASDAQ during its debut. To read the rest of the story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Happy birthday to Leo Melamed, who turned 89 over the weekend. I hope he has many more years to continue to celebrate, though I know it is difficult. The older one gets, the more friends one loses. Leo, like many of those from the open outcry era, had so many friends because of the unique nature of the massive throng that was the trading floors at the Merck and the CBOT. The loss of Jack Sander, who was about 10 years younger than Leo, makes the point too well. By the way, Amazon's Alexa does not know how to pronounce Melamed correctly. I encourage you to reach out to Leo and wish him happy birthday if you have not done already. I can provide contact information if you need it. Tony McCormick, who was best friends with the late Jack Sander, has offered his own remembrance of Jack. He said he thinks many of the remembrances of Jack miss the essence of the man, whom he called a rough-and-tumble guy who always championed the individual trader over the big interests of commercials and Wall Street. You can find Tony's complete remembrance on our Jack Sander remembrance page on johnlothiannews.com. Also, courtesy of Tony, is a picture of Jack Sander's service captured from the streaming video. Boca V is over, so get ready for Derivatives Forum Frankfurt 2021 starting Tuesday, March 23rd. The Derivatives Forum Frankfurt 2021 will be held as a virtual edition with thought leadership, insights, industry debates, keynote speeches, and virtual networking opportunities. The OCC's Amy Shelley talked with Betty Price as part of the Women's History Month in a short YouTube video. A link is in today's newsletter. Coinbase settled charges by the CFTC and is to pay a $6.5 million fine for reckless, false, misleading, or inaccurate reporting, as well as wash trading by a former employee on Coinbase's GDAX platform. Meanwhile, Coinbase going public has been delayed, avoiding a March Madness direct listing. The latest hot thing in debt markets is volcano bonds. Quantitative Brokers, or QB, has launched algorithms on JPX. The algos will be used for equity, fixed income, and commodity futures contracts on the Osaka Exchange, OSE. Robin Hood is looking to hire some merry men and women in a cryptocurrency hiring spree. Robert Crosby, Joseph Consenza, Kurt Cabot, Mandino Fratto, and Michael Lizette were each hit with $500 fines by the CME Group for violating Market Regulation Advisory RA2001-3, which applies to wearing face shields or face masks on the trading floor and maintaining proper social distancing. Brian Price of FEX Global was the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Brian is a longtime JLN reader, and FEX has been a loyal sponsor of JLN for many years. The financial and exchange group, FEX, announced they are to launch their futures exchange on Friday, March 26. The exchange will offer centrally cleared futures and options for energy, environmental, and commodity asset classes will be centrally cleared by CME Clearing. Thank you to Brian and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. I received my first of two shots of the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19, although it was a combination shot of Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. The shot was Pfizer, but the Band-Aid covering the injection site was Johnson & Johnson. This is from Suzanne Cosgrove. Mergers and acquisitions are on the rise in the U.S. cannabis industry, as NASDAQ analyst Celine Dea pointed out in a JLN podcast last week. One recent M&A example is last week's announcements from Chicago-based Cresco Labs. The company said it planned to buy Massachusetts-based Cultivate Licensing LLC for about $158 million, elevating Cresco to a number three position in Massachusetts, a state that reported nearly $1 billion in total retail sales for 2020. For more details, see the press release in today's newsletter. Also from Suzanne Cosgrove, FTSE Russell has published its Equity Drivers Report for March. Among its observations is the expected economic boost from the Biden administration's COVID-19 relief package has resulted not only in upgrades to GDP and earnings per share forecasts, but also the bond market's repricing of inflation risk. The recalibration to a different macro outlook is contributing to market volatility, the report notes. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. The Crypto Markets Wiki podcast episode 18 is out, Building a Better Mousetrap, David Olson of BlockFi. BlockFi is a New York City-based startup cryptocurrency financial institution. It offers lots of crypto services to its customers, including lending U.S. dollars against Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency as collateral, as well as accepting deposits of cryptocurrencies which pay interest to the depositor. David Olson is the global head of distribution at BlockFi. Previously, he worked in the financial markets for two decades, managing teams at companies like Merrill Lynch and Credit Suisse. On this episode of the Crypto Markets Wiki podcast, Olson sits down to talk about how BlockFi is striving to become the global crypto bank of the future. You can find this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The world will need 10 million tons more copper to meet demand. Supply gaps loom as mines become trickier and prices to build. BI analysts warn of possible dearth of mine projects from 2025. Within a decade, the world may face a massive shortfall of what's arguably the most critical metal for global economies, copper. The copper industry needs to spend upwards of $100 billion to close what could be an annual supply deficit of 4.7 million metric tons by 2030 as the clean power and transport sectors take off, according to estimates from CRU Group. The potential shortfall could reach 10 million tons if no mines get built, according to commodities trader Trafigura Group. Closing such a gap would require building the equivalent of 8 projects the size of BHP Group's giant Escondida in Chile, the world's largest copper mine. My comment, you might not be able to hear this bull market in the making, but you should be smelting it. Here is a story from the Financial Times, Leo Lewis. Japan deployed scatological strategy to explain finance to kids. Regulator turns to popular death vacation-themed cartoon character in educational drive. In a fast-changing financial world where fortunes can be made in tradable cat images and Elon Musk can wipe billions off Tesla's value in a single tweet, Japan Financial Services Agency has turned to a scatological cartoon character to teach children about money. My comment, my kids grew up with stories of Winnie the Pooh. This is a different kind of poo. Here's a story from Bloomberg as well. Young bankers have an absurd work life. Junior Goldman Sachs analysts complained of working 100-hour work weeks should just suck it up, apparently. Why is investment banking so stuck in the past? In the first episode of Industry, a BBC and HBO television drama about young investment bankers, the depiction of their world couldn't be bleaker. A graduate trainee dies in the office toilet after pulling several all-nighters. Both writers of the cult show had left banking disenchanted by their own experiences, and they had a real example to give the plotline substance. In 2013, a summer intern at Bank of America Corp. in London died from an epileptic seizure caused by overwork. The masters of the universe should be able to figure out a better solution, is my comment. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Professional services face losing junior staff to burnout. Mental health problems on the rise as COVID brings greater workloads coupled with a shift to solitary working. Junior lawyers and consultants are warning they are suffering burnout after working longer hours in isolation during the pandemic, sparking fears of an exodus from the biggest global law and advisory firms. Soaring demand for legal and corporate advice during COVID-19 crisis and a global shift to remote working have resulted in growing mental health problems among younger professional workers, according to senior partners. My comment, as part of my getting an electronic stimulator embedded in my back, I have been encouraged to get some counseling about how I deal with pain. That could be a euphemism for how I deal with life. Here's another story from the Financial Times. What oddly uplifting COVID jazz says about business life. Few companies can easily offer meaning and purpose at work, but that should not stop them from trying. How did you spend your last Sunday afternoon? If you are of a certain age and live in the UK, there's a fair chance you did what I did and found yourself sitting on a plastic chair in a converted hall while someone stuck a needle in your arm and delivered a shot of COVID vaccine. My comment, a purpose-driven shot. Here are your top 3 most read stories from Friday's JLN. The most read story in the newsletter on Friday was from the New York Post. Tired Goldman Sachs underlings beg to work just 80 hours a week instead of 100. The second most popular was about SPACs. The New York Times piece, the market seems crazy. Startups wrestle with flood of offers. Third was a John Lothian news feature on new members of the Futures Industry Association Hall of Fame. FIA Boca V, closing ceremony honors outstanding figures and remembers the lost. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site has 201,824,666 pages viewed. There are 25,519 pages on the site, while there have been 231,091 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.